Hi, it's Clint and Lyndon.
Welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen.
As always, our opinions are our own and should be taken with a pinch of salt.
At the sound of the Arwen cow, enjoy the episode.
Hi, welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen. I'm one of your hosts, Clinty. You can find me on Instagram at Clinty Skygo. Is that it?
That's it.
That's it. That's all you're getting.
And I'm Lyndon. Dying. And you can find me on Instagram at Pilgrim in the Mist.
Fabulous! Today we're doing...
Did you introduce the podcast? We're shoving up your Arwen. Did you say that? I wasn't listening.
No, ever. You listen?
No.
Yeah, today we're doing Spiritual Warfare, but before that, Magical Moment.
Magical Moments. You go first.
Oh, fuck you. So I'm going to talk about a magical moment that I had at Mercian Gathering.
Okay.
Haven't talked about that.
We have not.
No, because we were at Mercian Gathering and it was fucking amazing and right. It's really, really cool.
You do that. I'm gonna sit here and eat myself.
That's fine.
I'm just going to leave it at that. God's sake. People can imagine what they want.
He's folded in half.
Delicious.
And we had a bit of a magical moment. I got really, really drunk and was encouraging the other guys that we were hanging out with to use runes to influence and manipulate things and people.
Aether.
Excuse me. And yeah, it was great. It was really, really good. And you know, since then, Helen came and found me and she was just like, I've been doing more. And she's like, it's great fun. It works wonders at work. And I was like, oh, grand. Oh, it's great. I think that's what she said. Oh, she said something like that anyway. But she's carried on doing it. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. That's brill. But yeah, it's been good fun. So yeah, that was nice. Sharing runes and hand signs and projection and stuff like that. Yeah, that one. That's a great one. Works wonders.
Yeah.
Says all it needs to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know it's short and sweet, but that was my magical moment. I've got a couple more, but
that was right, lovely.
I don't want to do.
Beautiful.
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 Delicious. Beautiful.
So what was your magical moment, mate? Darling.
I've redid all the protections around the house. Added
How?
A couple of new ones. How?
Yeah.
Why would I tell you that? Why would I tell anyone that?
I don't know.
Hey, let me give you the keys.
Yeah.
Let me just let anyone just waltz in and fuck shit up.
So how did you do it?
I'm not going to tell you.
Aww.
But needless to say, so I redid them all. I added a few new ones. I've still got some more that I want to do.
It was jizz, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I just stood outside the house and just sprayed the front of the house in jizz. All the neighbours shielding their children's eyes. Just, yeah. It looked like, you know, the scene in Ghostbusters with the purple ectoplasm just, like, everywhere.
Purple?
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got some issues.
You've got an infection by the sounds of it.
It's an ongoing thing. But, no, so I redid my protections, so that was lovely. And then I've been doing a lot of kind of deep diving into who is she, what does she want, what is she about, and looking at my practice, my faith, and all of it really, and just kind of asking personal questions and trying to flesh it out a bit more. Because, like, this is a new thing for me. Really. Magic isn't a new thing for me. That's a very old thing for me. But Catholicism is a very new thing for me. And having to put one on top of the other and make them mesh is very difficult. And although there are people out there who are like, I'm a Catholic witch or I'm a Christian witch, is a load of all fucking bollocks in my opinion, because one contradicts the other completely.
Yep.
You can be Catholic and do magic. It's not called magic, but you can, from an outsider point of view, it does look like magic. So there is a system in place that allows you to do it. But it's not just about the practice, it's about the mythology, and it's about you know, one, people seem to think that one erases the other, and there isn't. So I was talking with the beautiful darling Ben Stimson.
We love Ben. Ben is grand.
And I was talking to him about kind of what I've been looking into, and he's helped me, actually. He's put me onto quite a few good sources. So I'm kind of looking at, and I do give credit a little bit to Albert Sussex Peller.
Yes.
Because they're quite similar to in Iceland, the way, sort of the way I view things, but not quite, because they still worship like Odin and things like that, and I'm not going to do that. But they don't separate pagan and Christian, because Christianity came quite late to them, and because they're kind of separate from a lot of the world, they've kind of just developed their own thing. And I kind of feel like, if the Romans hadn't wiped out Druidry in this country and tried to erase our ancient culture, which they pretty much did, I think we probably would have ended up slightly similar.
Yeah, possibly.
But, I mean, you see bits of it where we had, like, for a moment, we had, like, Celtic Christianity. And, you know, you've got, like, the fairy faith in Ireland and things like that. But they kind of got squished. And I think if we'd had a bit more of a cultural identity when the movement started to...
I mean, Celtic Christianity's still there. Ish.
Yeah, ish. So, anyway, so I was looking at how I view it and looking at the older stories. And there's plenty of stories of, like, saints interacting with giants and these old spirits. And
yeah, they're great stories.
And, you know, challenging them to contests of strength or rebuking them and turning them into stone. And then you've got the priests helping people manage issues with fairy folk and things like that. So there's this rich culture of land spirits and...
Sorry, I just had a really funny image of this bloke going, I rebuke you, you're not real! And a giant going, oh shit, you're right!
I'm not!
this is a funny image in my head.
Mm.
But to be fair, that's Gogmagog for you.
So, yeah. So,
Ben was like,
that sounds quite a lot like medieval Christianity. So I was like, ooh, yeah. Aside from the whole kind of hell and damnation and fiery furnace and all that I don't believe in at all. But that sounds like the kind of flavour of Christian energy that I want to flow with. That kind of, you know, because I still believe in land spirits. And it was hard to kind of make that fit.
Yeah.
But now that I found a Christian context that makes it fit, everything's kind of good. So I'm doing a lot more digging.
Feeling better.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to see how it feels, see how it tastes, see how it kind of works. So it's been good.
Lovely.
It's been great.
Lovely.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So that's it.
Marvellous.
Yeah. Anyway.
Go on, do it.
No,
do
I don't
it.
Want to.
It'll hurt you so... Ow! Oh! I'm saving it up.
I was...
I'm just going to punch you in the teeth in a bit.
Okay. That's fine. We've been away.
We have, for like yes. 8 weeks. We've been away for a while because of all sorts of things.
Work. You had work. I've been doing stuff.
Yes.
Our time schedules have not aligned.
No, they haven't. I mean, I think it's more my fault than your fault, to be fair.
I mean, I'll agree with that.
I've had always. A... Yeah, no, definitely. It's the...
Always
fucking finger mark.
Choice
arm,
always
you
through.
Absolute cunt.
You said to do
it. I did because you would just you'll get it backed up, and then when it does come, it'll be fucking 10 times worse. Oh. Weirdo. Yeah, because I've got a promotion, so I'm now an L&D manager rather than learning and development manager rather than learning and development officer. So my job has just skyrocketed.
Yeah,
and just.
Yeah. She's a career girl.
Oh, it's just a bit mad. So, yes, She's a Career Girl has been a bit fucking mental. And, like, the thing that we had that kind of brought us together was, like, Northampton Cathedral, where I would come with Wayne and meet you at Northampton and we might, like, nip off on a Sunday on the odd occasion. And now Wayne doesn't go to Northampton Cathedral anymore. Mm. So, like, it's just that things have kind of gone a different direction slightly.
Yeah.
And those cross channels where we would meet kind of halfway just don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And
we need to find a new way to make time for us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so we've been away for a while and it's been a bit naff, but we're still here. We're still going.
We did Mercy and Gathering. We did
Mercy and Gathering. That was great fun. I was petrified that it wasn't going going to go very well, but it went really well.
It went quite good. There were things that I will do differently next time.
Yeah.
Like plan.
Yeah, not write the talk the night before.
I operate best.
Literally the night before, we were getting pissed on rum and you were writing the talk.
Yeah.
Based on my notes that had been written for a week.
Yeah. Yes, but in my defence.
Yes.
You had written a very detailed talk without me.
I hadn't and I delivered couldn't... a detailed talk, though.
Yeah, but I couldn't write my stuff without knowing your stuff.
But I had rung you 4 times. But
you hadn't told me about your stuff.
Yes, I had on those phone calls.
Brief overviews.
Yes, I did.
Brief
because
overviews.
Because that's all I had was brief overviews.
To a man who can't remember yesterday. So, pointless.
Marvellous. But no, but that's fine because now we know how each other works.
Yes.
And we didn't know that previously.
We didn't.
Now we know. So it'll just we'll just do that again and you can just write the talk from my notes the night before and I'll just go with it.
Yeah, or just I won't write anything.
Yeah, maybe we'll pick something easier next time.
Well, I do think we took put this coffee down. I do think we took the subject quite literal. Because when you look at some of the other talks, they weren't as like...
Yes, but I went to some of the other talks and even then I was just like, our talk was actually quite good. We've had loads of good feedback since.
Yeah. I do regret that we didn't have an active element, but there wasn't really an active element. I mean, what would we do for an active element? Like, what? I'm going to produce holy water. People would run out of the tent.
Yeah. Especially if you do it the same way you protect your house.
Oh, no.
Like, that's just... Yeah, you're not doing that.
If I started anointing things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just pagans running everywhere,
yeah.
Or grabbing pitchforks and...
You'd have been dead.
I would be dead.
You'd have been dead.
Yeah, it just wouldn't have worked.
But no, it was good. It was good. It was good. So.
Yeah.
Fabulous!
So we're back now. So what are we talking about?
Spiritual warfare. Well, this spiritual is what you wanted warfare. To do. So spiritual warfare, this was your idea.
Spiritual warfare.
Take the reins, baby!
Because we're in spooky season, so naturally we need to discuss demons and combat.
Demons!
On the spiritual realm.
On the spiritual realm.
Do you do spiritual combat?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Who do you fight?
People.
Nice.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly. They come at night. Mostly. Yeah. Mostly people. Mostly Christians.
Nice.
Mostly Christians. Yeah. It's great. Turn their faith against them.
Excellent.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's really easy.
Yeah.
And then they have like a meltdown and a crisis, and it's just like, bah! No, I don't actually. No, I don't know. Thinking about it, like, because you mentioned spiritual warfare a little while ago, and my brain was just like,
Well, okay, so from a Catholic point of view, spiritual warfare is the battle against evil.
Yes. Now, right? So, that's where I get stuck because my brain goes to magical combat. It's not the same as spiritual warfare.
No.
Because magical combat is effectively me using magic in a combative way to win over a situation with another person.
The lines blur. So, okay. So, from my point of view, spiritual warfare is me doing battle against evil. Why are you standing?
Because I like to feel a feeling of superiority over you in this circumstance.
Okay.
No, I'm just having a drink. Shut up. Can you not tell? Like, the glass is in my hand and I'm drinking from it.
Yeah, but you're standing.
Yes, because...
What a weird thing to do. Strange creature.
You slapped my arm for absolutely no fucking reason and you're telling me I'm weird for drinking standing up.
I slapped you because you're a cunt. And I will slap you again.
Because I'm still a cunt.
Yes. Unfortunately.
Look at the fucking marks.
Oh. What was I saying? Anyway, God.
Eye socket against my wound.
Jesus. I keep picking up that cup and putting it back down again.
Fucking
spiritual combat. Spiritual combat for me is the battle against evil. And that includes, under that subheading, demons and malefic spirits. Because not all spirits are demons. It's very different. Demons are a very particular kind of thing. You've got... Like, devil.
Are they?
Yes, there's lots of different, like, grades. We like to grade shit and put things in categories.
You've
got devils. There's no one devil. Anyone that talks of the devil. They're just talking out their arse.
Great, powerful Saturn.
Satan is a title given to the ruler of the underworld. That's it. And that would effectively be to the most powerful fallen angel at any given time. And that could change. So there is no one Satan. It's whoever happens to wear the crown at that moment. Which you won't know unless you actively go out and try and talk to them, which no one in their right mind should actually do.
Mm-mm.
So, whatever.
Well, not without a triangle of art, anyway.
Well, yes. There are devils. And there's this whole thing of, like, you've got to know the name, you've got to know the name. But, like, if you look at Old Testament-y kind of stuff, the devils didn't really have... They were, like, the devil of fear, of strife, of jealousy, of this. And that's what they would kind of bring out in a person.
Mm.
So, yes, sometimes they have names. You don't necessarily need to know their names. Names aren't always a relevant thing, especially not in Christianity. It's more of an occult thing.
Yeah.
Then you've got, like... What are you doing?
Where does that come from? It keeps coming back.
I don't know. And then you have, like, your more traditional demons, which you would see with, like, a lot of possession and things like that, which are Nephilim spirits.
Right.
Which were what the Flood was used to destroy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so many of them were allowed to persist in our world. God allowed them because they're there to tempt us and to torment us. Not, I know that sounds horrible, but, like, if everything is sunny and lovely, then there's nothing to test your faith.
Oh yeah, let's leave the bullies, shall we?
Yes.
Mm.
You need something to test faith, because otherwise if faith isn't tested, it's not true.
Okay, all right, yeah, I'll take your word for it. I don't care.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, whatever, fuck it, yeah. So we have those there.
Now I know why Wayne doesn't have these
tempt and test us. So spiritual warfare is our means of battling that. So we've got, you know, there's loads of deliverance prayers and the rosary and loads of, like, protections. And spiritual warfare isn't, we don't actively have, because in Christianity you shouldn't actually do battle, because ours is a faith of forgiveness, or it should be. Not that you would think it.
Oh, but, is it?
Yeah.
News to me.
Yeah, I know. Oh. But if you actually follow the words of the master, that's what it should be. So when we do spiritual combat, it's not about wielding swords and weapons. It's about protecting yourself from weathering the storm. So be the rock that the water breaks on.
Right.
Yeah. Because if you can be an immovable object, then it's fine. It will destroy itself as it batters itself against you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But then the crossover for you would be, I suppose...
Don't you tell me what it is for me, even without me giving you any idea.
Oh, honey, don't you tell me! But, like, sorcerers sending spirits and egregores and things against you.
Mm.
It's doing battle in the spiritual plane, effectively.
Yeah, but then there's also that thing, like, you will have... There are malefic spirits out there.
Yes.
Like, you know, and it's just knowing them enough to combat them. It's like vampires have... OCD. You know, just knowing that is a big deal.
Do they?
Yeah. Vampires have OCD. It's quite simple. Vampires have OCD because they can't enter a room unless they're invited.
Okay.
Right? And if you throw things on a number of things on the ground, they are instantly compelled to count them. It's a delay tactic, which is why spirit jars, you know, always contain a certain unfathomable number of something in them. And what you do is you bind that jar to the symbol of potential spirit that's trying to attack you. So they're drawn to it. And by being drawn to it, they are delayed enough for you to get away or combat them in another way, because they are compelled to count whatever's there.
Hmm. That's quite funny.
It is quite funny. Vampires are a prime example of OCD, though, because the easy example is they're obsessed with etiquette because they have to be invited in.
I like that.
They have OCD.
I really enjoyed, I know it's got nothing to do with actual spiritualism, I really enjoyed in Castlevania when they disclose and discuss why crosses affect vampires, and it's got nothing to do with the fact that it's a religious symbol, and everything to do with the fact that it's geometry, and the geometry fucks their vision up, and so they get, like, perplexed by the shape of it. I was like, I like that.
I love that. And then Dracula builds a castle.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah, but the castle makes no sense.
But yes, no. Oh, that's... Yeah, that's a good point, actually. The castle makes no sense.
No.
And it wouldn't, would it? Because you can't do geometry.
Yeah.
Because of crosses. Ha! Amazing. Ha! Brill. I like that. I like that. That's really cool. So, yeah, I don't know. Spiritual warfare? I don't know. Spells against fascists? Sounds good.
Yeah, but that's not spiritual warfare.
Why isn't it?
That's magical combat.
Which is...
No.
I mean, not witches, but witches.
No, because you're attacking something in the physical. We're talking about attacking things in the metaphysical. Spiritual plane. The other. Beings not of flesh.
Because, like... I suppose you could consider circle casting spiritual warfare, then.
Yeah.
Because you call the quarters to protect you from the four directions. Which I wish people would realise is angelic magic.
Yeah.
I really do wish that people would fucking get it.
Well, no, casting a circle isn't angelic magic.
No,
calling the watchtowers.
The watchtowers is angelic.
Because it's the four archangels, isn't it?
It's the four archangels. Referring to the watchtowers is angelic magic. And I've really...
Should I
really
do the opposite of what every pagan says? That's just a clear example of pagan stealing Christian culture.
No! No, just fuck off. It just bugs me.
Yeah.
It just bugs me because it's just like... It doesn't mean it doesn't work, because of course it works.
Of course it works.
You know, and it doesn't matter whether you're calling angels in your head or whether you're just calling elementals. It still works. But I just wish that people would realise that there's no... that you can't just divorce yourself from Christianity like that and then go, I'm going to call the quarters.
He looks like a lifeguard.
Call the watchtowers, rather. He does. Does he know?
I don't know.
No. He doesn't know. He's not realised. By the way, somebody's just walked past my house, front window, wearing yellow t-shirt and red shorts.
Yes. So, there you go.
But the gym is that way with the swimming pool, so maybe he's walking back from the gym.
Maybe.
I don't fucking know. I don't fucking care. So... there is that, like, so the circle casting is potentially spiritual warfare because you're creating a space that separates you from any malefic spirits.
Yes.
And you're casting a boundary to keep you safe.
Yeah.
So that when you invite spirits in, only the right ones, the ones with the invitation, actually enter. Again, the invitation thing. Vampires.
Yes.
Malefic spirits have OCD. So there is that, and I suppose there's an element of spiritual warfare even in ADF Druidry, because you do, although I don't know whether I would call it spiritual warfare or not, because you make outlying, you make offerings to the outliers, the outdwellers, sorry, not outliers. So you make an offering outside the space for them to have on the promise that they don't interfere. So that's not really spiritual warfare.
No, that's like spiritual parlay.
Yeah, that's parlay. Oh, I like that. Parlay. So I don't know. So, ceremonial magic is very spiritual warfare, though. Very spiritual warfare.
Yes.
Because it, yeah, very much so, because it's about compelling. It's very threatening to other spirits.
Yes.
And you use a lot of threatening and...
Very heavily.
A lot of commanding stuff to bend spirits to your will. Which I'm not surprised that the very idea, the very notion of spirits being evil, if that's how you're coaxing them to do what you want, is by going, do it or I fucking attack you with this horde and the power of God! Then I'm not surprised if it gets a little bit flinchy at you.
See, I, within a Catholic framework, I suppose, like, if you're just a basic Catholic bitch and you just, you know, you go to church, you receive the Eucharist, you go home, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Back to your sins.
But if you're back to your sins. But if you practice a more mystical, more folky kind of form of Catholicism, and you do deal with spirits, and you're aware of the spirits that are out there, and you interact with the land spirits and everything else, and you see that there's more than just people in this world. I suppose a more animistic approach to Catholicism. You've also got to you have to then believe. I don't think a lot of Christians actually believe that demons are real. I actually don't think a lot of the Catholic Church believes that demons are real.
Mm-mm.
The Catholic Church in of itself, I think until recently, there's been a massive surge the last few years in spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
But up to that point, like, there weren't that many exorcists. It was a section of the Catholic Church that was disappearing. There was this whole push for, oh, it's just old archaic nonsense. But I don't understand how you can expect people to believe one part of the Bible and not believe the rest.
Yeah, but
either it's all true.
Hasn't there been a record number of possessions?
Yeah.
In the last 20 years.
Which is why there's a massive resurgence and why they've released books for like deliverance prayers and things like that to help people who like are a bit more interested and a bit more keyed up to kind of protect themselves. So,
but that's like a prime example of like, we're going to stop inoculating kids against smallpox because there hasn't been a smallpox outbreak for 50 years. They stop inoculating kids. All of a sudden, there's an outbreak.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Because they realised the cure was actually the preventative.
Yeah.
So, it's funny.
So, for us, like, I'm constantly aware that, like, I don't worry about... When I was pagan, I protected myself against other witches and against other practitioners because the idea was, oh, well, if someone ever got it in their head to send me it, throw a curse my way, then, oh, I've got to protect myself. I don't care about that anymore. No. It doesn't even bother me. If someone wants to try it, they can try it. It won't work. I receive the Eucharist twice a week. That'll erase any curse or hex or anything thrown my way. So I'm not particularly bothered. I also have enough protections on my house and of my person that, generally speaking, I'm okay. Doesn't mean to say nothing will ever get in, but it's highly, highly unlikely.
I do find that idea of hexing someone, another practitioner... You hear it, and I've heard it before, where people have gone, aren't you worried that somebody might... No.
No.
No, I'm really not. Because anybody capable of doing that would realise how really fucking stupid it is.
It's ridiculous. If you're really seasoned stupid. And you know what you're doing, no one's going to bother doing anything to anyone because everyone knows you've got your shit together.
Yeah.
Like,
and even then, if you did, it would not be worth it.
No. The amount of energy someone would have to expend to get something past my wards would be insane. And if they did, congratulations, it'll be gone within a very short space of time.
And the problem is most, if not all, reversals also send shit back.
Yeah.
And the problem is if it looks like, sounds like, and acts like you, when it comes back, it'll get past whatever wards
you
have. And you can't just go, well, I put a no return clause in it. Don't work like that. It's not that fucking... It's not that straightforward.
It's not a school playground. There's no takes and
really
backsies.
Not.
No.
It's really not.
No. So I don't worry about that anymore, but I am acutely aware, because I am a Catholic, I have to be aware of the existence of demons and demonic spirits and things like that, and I have to be acutely aware that they are constantly there to try and tempt me and to try and pull me away from things and attack me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I have to be vigilant. That's kind of the biggest part of my practice, is being vigilant and hyper aware of that side of things. So I always make sure that I have wards. I always make sure that I carry certain protections on me specifically for that. On days where I don't wear or carry with me those wards, I will make sure that I say the St. Patrick breastplate prayer. Mm. Like if I go to the gym, and like one of them is, one of my biggest wards is my rosary. So I always make sure I carry that with me, but if I go to the gym, I won't necessarily carry that because when I worry, if I catch it on something and it breaks, then I've got to get a new one. Or if I don't have any pockets, so I can't put it in there. So I make sure that I say the St. Patrick breastplate because then I know at least then I have a form of armour with me. So I am always consistently vigilant and making sure that there is protection on me and there is protection on my house and my grounds. And I shift them around and I change them and I refresh them semi-regularly. I probably won't need to do them now for another 3 months. I'll probably do them again around Christmas time, around the time of the winter solstice. Actually, that'd be quite nice because I can call on, I think it's St. Lucy. I'll have to double check. I think it's St. Lucy.
St. Lucy.
I could be mistaken. So if I am, don't attack me for it. But I think
no deal. I'm no fucking deal. Attacking you.
You're going to attack me
for no it. Deal.
I think it's St. Lucy. And I think her story is she's an...
A rapist?
She is. A mass rapist. No, she has a very sad story. She was a very devout young girl and she wanted to be a priest, but her family wanted her, or her father wanted her to marry some horrible troglodyte man. And I think she was somewhere out, like Russia way. I don't know if she was actually Russian or whether she was, but she was kind of out that way of the world.
Yeah.
Somewhere where it's very wintry and very cold and there's lots of snow and the weather's shit all the time and it's just, you know, people are tough. She was a young girl, and so her mum helped her escape, and she wanted to be a nun. I can't remember if she did become a nun. But anyway, the guy she was going to marry ended up getting his friends together, and they, I think they ended up raping and killing her.
I knew there'd be rape.
Of course. But then when she died, because she was so pure, she became a saint immediately, and light burst from her body. Permanently blinding and burning the eyes out of her attackers. So every year her saint day is around the time of the winter solstice, and the women around that time, they wear garlands on their heads and carry candles.
Right.
And she's said to her light dispels darkness and wards off evil. So it's a good time to redo protections. So I will do it.
13th of December.
Is it?
Her feast day.
There we go. I knew it'd be around then.
Where is she? Roman Empire. Western Roman Empire.
Maybe it's not St. Lucy then.
San Geremia, Venice.
No.
Major shrine.
No.
That's her major shrine anyway.
Okay. Well, it's not her then.
A dish. Her attributes are a dish, a blindfold, and a lamp.
Oh, maybe it is her. Oh, I don't know.
I don't fucking know. I don't know. I don't know. It's a John of Syria. I don't fucking know. Life! Lucy, born to a rich noble parents in the year 28, her family was Roman origin but died when she was 5 years old.
Yeah. So,
leaving Lucy and her mother without a protective guardian, her mother, whatever.
So Sicily.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tomb of Agatha.
Ancient tradition of the winter solstice.
Yay!
Festival of Santa Lucia. There we go.
There we go.
And
so why are you doing that again?
Protections.
Ah.
She's handy for protection. So her feast day is on the winter solstice.
Oh, is that? Yeah. Okay.
Different
Lucy.
Different Lucy. So, but yeah, so I'll probably read you them around then. But yeah, so that's kind of why that's the main concern for me is like demons and dark spirits and things like that and things that are there to tempt me and attack me and whatever. And if I ever do, so the other night I was in bed and I woke up and I was just laying in bed awake and I heard we have a metal container for our toothbrushes and toothpaste and that got knocked in the bathroom. No reason for it, but it sounded like someone just dropped something in it.
Mm.
And I was laying in bed and I thought, oh, what's that?
Yeah.
Because there's no reason for it to move. And there's no reason for anything to touch it. So, yeah, the next day I went around the house and I just said a few deliverance prayers.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Scary story?
If you want.
Last night, went to bed, felt a bit weird. Like, that doesn't feel right.
Did you have a tingle in your mingle?
I had a tingle in my mingle that made me go, that feels uncomfortable.
Did you feel queer? I don't.
So, my dad's house was horribly haunted.
Okay.
Terribly, terribly haunted. And me and Wayne were watching a film last night. I can't remember what we watched. So, whether that put the willies at me or not, I don't know. I don't think so. Because, just, no. I don't get bothered by things like that.
The willies up you?
Yeah. chance to be a flying thing. I went to bed. No, Wayne went to bed first because he was knackered. And then and I stayed up and I don't really remember what I was doing. I think I was on TikTok. I stayed up and then went to bed a bit later. And as I shut the door behind me, I was like, that feels rather uncomfortable. Like Dad's house when something was about. And I was telling Wayne about it, like, because we were watching this film and the music got turned on and it was really, really loud, right? And it was like, rah, 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 and it's meant to be a jump scare. And I said to Wayne, that used to happen in my dad's house all the time. So to fuck them off, right? Because I turned it off and walked away, it would turn back on again. So to fuck them off, I'd just turn it down and leave it on. I'd be like, right, now turn it on. Ah, cunt. Because if you do it, you turn it off. Defeats purpose. So I'd just leave it on and just turn it down. And then the amount of times I would have to do that, it was constant in my dad's house, all the time. So when I went to bed last night, I was just like, oh, that doesn't feel right. And I did a binding, like a triskelion, like, which is just a spiral, but I did a binding one on our bedroom door. And as I did it, the jeans and shirt in front of the wardrobe next to the door, between me and the door, moved as something went past it back to the door. And I was like, eh, that worked. I mean, not wigged out. I was just like, well, I can sleep confidently now because it means it worked. But it did make me go, I stopped and paused for a minute and just watched them like sway as if something had just moved. It's like you just walked past them.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd walked past them, but I'd walked past them 3 or 4 minutes ago. You know, they'd have stopped.
Yeah.
And I turned, they weren't moving. I did the triskly and bound the door so nothing would come in and everything would be pushed out. And they started moving. I watched them start moving and I was like, that's not good. And I often attribute spirits doing naughty as when you're not very well, or when you're under the weather, when you've been ill for a while. I've got an ear infection at the moment that I'm taking stuff for, and we've currently got a little bit. Wayne's not been feeling very well and he's on some antibiotics. We're fine. We've just caught things early and gone, got a cold, go doctors, yeah, something, okay, we'll take the pills for it, you know, clear it up. But it does, I often think to myself, I never attribute illness to just a normal thing. I always think you, because I'm never ill when I'm happy, cheery, upbeat, everything's going well, la la la. I'm only ever ill or poorly when things are going badly. And it's really weird, you know, and every now and again I have to think to myself, okay. Let's do something here. And it's amazing how quickly these things turn around.
So what did you do after that? Did you go through and cleanse the house, or have you just left it to do its thing?
No, I left it to do its thing. 9 times out of 10, I also don't really think that there's that much of an element of malice involved. I think sometimes it's a spirit interfering where they're not really meant to, without realising that they're interfering, which upsets the balance a little bit.
But I mean, we have very different spirit cultures.
Yeah, so my spirit culture is very benign. And like I have dealt with malicious spirits in the past, and that was difficult and frightening. But I've not come across them since. And you have to invite them in some respects for them to turn up. But those that are just passing through, not realising they're upsetting the apple cart, as they're passing through, just sometimes need a gentle reminder and a gentle push away so that they carry on passing through without interrupting you.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. Anyway, there's no demons whose very existence is to fuck me over.
Yeah. See, I don't view evil as such a loaded term.
It is a bit.
Because I think good and evil, they're not for humankind's. It is a man-made topic. I think divine, it goes both ways, right? Like, I suppose a prime example, I hate to use it, but I have to use World of Warcraft. like the what? Naru in World of Warcraft. Anyone who knows the Naru, right? They are beings of pure light and existence, and yet there's that one scene where the most powerful Naru tries to force the light onto Illidan against his will.
The best line. It's best line in that bit. Come on. What, where she goes, we will heal your scars.
I am my scars.
I am my scars. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not yours to take.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it!
So, like, that's a prime example of, like, to be 100% light is, you're a zealot, but, like, it's too much. And to be 100% dark, again, it's too much. I don't think humans are capable of that. We on this plane, it's shades of grey. And I think a lot of things like that are shades of grey. So when I think of demons and things like that, they're chaotic spirits. If God is all about order in a very fucked up kind of chaotic way, but the universe is ordered, everything works. It may not work in a way that we can conceive, but everything is ordered.
Mm.
But my brain is not there to understand the will of God. God is beyond me. So I don't even try. But they're there to sow chaos and sow discord. So they're not necessarily evil. They're just going against the grain on purpose. To tempt us, to cause issues. So, and that might come in the way of pain, it might come in the way of aggravation, it might come in the way of temptation, it might come in a plethora of ways, all of which will go against my calm and will go against, like, what I want, because that's their job.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about you, but I turn into Pam when someone goes against my calm. You fuck with my calm, it's time to die.
Yeah. I had, going on the spooky train, I had the other day a dream. I do need to, so as much as I talk about my protections and everything else and my house is warded thoroughly, it is. I think there is a chink somewhere and I need to figure out where it is because it's not you. Because the other night I had a dream where I was talking to a spirit and it was trying to get me to say an incantation to invite it in. And it was very much, and I
what
knew,
was the incantation?
I don't know. And I knew very much that this was...
Say it.
No, because I don't know what it was.
Lies.
No, it was one of those dreams. I don't really remember the details, but I remember the overall thing. And it was...
That's cool, sorry.
It was a malefic spirit, and it wanted me to invite it in. But like all these things, it was beautiful, and it was lovely, and it was saying soft nothings. And it was, you know,
this is what I mean, OCD. They need an invitation. It's fucking OCD.
But it was
OCD.
Trying to get me to say an incantation along the lines of the Lord's Prayer, but there were words that were different. And it was trying to get me to say it. And I would start it, but then there was a part in my brain that said, no, but this is wrong. So I stopped, and I was like, I'm not going to say it. And it was like, oh, no, but please, you know, come on, I can help you, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, no, but I don't want to. And I did resist it, and I was quite happy with that. I woke up and I was like, I resisted it, that's great. But it worried me that it was able to talk to me in my sleep and try and get me. Yeah, it came that close.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so there maybe needs to be something in place to protect me while I sleep. It's all right being awake in the house and being safe, but there needs to be something that protects me while I sleep.
I'm quite glad you mentioned that, actually, because I had weird dreams last night that wigged me out. When I got up, I was like, it's a bit weird. Glad you said that. I hadn't put two and two together until you just mentioned that.
Mm. So, yeah.
There was definitely something in the house last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a thing, like a monster's name. A monster knows, like, if someone says your name, you respond to it.
Yeah.
So monsters hear when you say their names. Like, it's just a thing. So if you say a monster's name or a spirit's name or a demon's name, they'll hear you. You know, they hear you and they hear you and they turn up, you know, and it's just one of those things. You just have to be careful. I mean, I put a lot of faith into the power of words because I just do, because they're just powerful things. You know, Harry Potter, that line that Dumbledore says that, you know, words are our most inexhaustible source of magic. They can... as much cause harm as they can remedy it, you know, that is true. Even more so when you put them within spiritual context, because the Lord's Prayer has so much power.
Yes, it does.
When you say it out loud.
Yes, it does.
You know, as much as fuck off, you cunt. Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, yeah.
And it, but within context, and the reason that it works is because it's real.
Mm.
You know? And we are spiritual beings that the first and the last thing we do when we're born and when we die is breathe. And if you can turn your breath, the very thing that gives you life, into a thing that exists only with that breath, as in words, language, and all of this, then surely it has as much power.
But what if you're mute?
What if you're mute?
Yes.
Then write it down. I don't care. You always come up with this one. And quite frankly, it's only a majority rule. It is only a majority rule.
And all you can do is sign.
Do you know what? Going through town with Wayne, right? We went past the shop and all the sign, the letters had all fallen off, right? And all that was left on the stop, on the top where the sign was, were all the dots where the screws were, where the letters should have been. And he went, "Is that a shop for blind people?" And I went, "Are you saying that because it looks like Braille?" And he went, "Yeah."
I said that, didn't I?
Was it you who said that?
Yeah.
I'm giving Wayne credit for your line.
You are.
This is probably the funniest thing. And every time I have to walk past that every morning, and I'm like,
oh. It was when we were on the way to Mercia.
That was it, yes. That was it, all the dots outside. And it was like, "Is that a shot for blind people?" I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, you have to feel really, really high up the sign to see what the fuck it says. And I just thought, that's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
One of my rare funny moments.
You are just a living funny moment.
I'm never intentionally funny. Like, me cracking jokes is... And for them to actually be funny is rare.
Yeah, no, that is good.
I'm never normally that quick.
That is good point.
If I do make a funny reference, it's unintentional. Yeah. And afterwards I'm like, I said that.
I made it funny. Indeed.
We digress.
We do digress. I don't know. For somebody who's mute and for somebody who's deaf, I don't think there's any loss of power, because I think, you know, there's ways and means of doing that. Like,
yes.
You'd learn sign language, for example. That's just as powerful.
Yeah.
You know, the physical act of creating words and creating...
You don't have to change the medium. I mean, if you can't speak, write it and burn it.
It still works. It's still the same. You know? But I think there's power in that. A lot of power in that.
Yes. I mean, going back to power in knowing a spirit's name, I mean, I agree, if you're summoning something, you need to know its name. But in Catholicism, we don't necessarily have to know its name to banish it.
Depends.
Well, we don't. You might have to. We don't.
Depends.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Exorcism only works if you know the spirit's name.
From a possession point of view.
Possession?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
I'll concede on that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
From the point of possession, you need to know the spirit's name to compel it. But that's the important thing about names, is they are powerful things. They can be used in two ways. They can be used to make something more powerful through veneration, through worship, and through, you know, all of these things. But they can also be used to remove power. There's a really great scene in The Hobbit where they all go, and all the Council of the White turn up and battle the necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Galadriel stands up and she holds the vial of
formless, nameless.
Yeah, exactly. She uses magic to take away his physical form.
I hated his name. That scene.
I loved it.
No. So
only because of that, really.
I enjoyed it.
I think they could have done it better.
My issue was they used the same look for Galadriel as when she was tempted by the ring.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw the dark Galadriel. But she shouldn't have been. In that moment, she should have been the pure representation of the light of Elendriel, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or the Evenstar, or whatever. So she should have been pure and glowy and, like, divine.
Yeah.
Enough to repel his darkness. But instead, she looked swampy.
Yeah, especially considering she is able, because she was born under the light of the two trees, she is still able to call upon their power.
Yeah, and she's a direct child of the gods, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a firstborn.
Yeah.
So she was a first generation. She wasn't one of the elves that were born of the stars, that were created.
Yeah.
So she wasn't a created elf, but she was the first elf born, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
So not as powerful as her parents, but still powerful enough.
Yeah.
Her parents are already in Valinor anyway. Yeah. So.
I mean, she's not real, so whatever.
How do you know?
Because it's not.
How do you know?
Because it's not.
How do you know?
Because I know.
How do you know where these stories come from? They could be spirits whispering in the ears going, let me tell you my story.
Oh, fuck off. No,
and this is
not
where I came from.
Ridiculous.
There's a million universes. Shut up. It could be anywhere.
No, it's not. If it's not in Babel, it ain't true.
Oh, shush. Prick.
But which Bible?
Which Bible? The Witch Bible. I've got one of them.
Have you?
She's in that.
Congratulations. So pleased.
I've met Janet Fowler as well.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't enthralled. Okay. Anyway, moving on before I say something.
But yeah, so that scene disappointed me because she just looks swampy and rubbish. And they should have made her look gorgeous.
But
and
then,
beautiful.
Then, like, this is where, like, life imitates art, because, like, Tolkien wrote a lot of this stuff based on his faith and his experiences.
Wasn't a lot of The Lord of the Rings based on, like, the Mabinogi and things like that?
No.
No?
No.
I swear a lot of the inspiration came from the Mabinogi.
No, so he was part of a group of people who wanted to recreate mythology and story and retell stories from kind of like I've got to get this right because somebody will shoot me down if I get this horribly wrong, but like there was a group of them who wanted to like bring the stories of Britain like back, and are you all right, love?
Yes.
That's all right. And he wrote The Lord of the Rings like from them. Like Rohan is based on the UK. Yeah? So the stories and the bits about Rohan in The Lord of the Rings are based on the UK. All the other stuff is about kind of bringing the myths into a modern era, almost. So the stories about the elves were to try and bring, you know, all those myths into modern stories. And then, but J.R. Tolkien, much like C.S. Lewis, who wrote Narnia, C.S. Lewis wrote Narnia as just a reimagining of the Bible. Like, the whole thing is just a reimagining.
Aslan is Jesus. Or
Aslan is Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just a whole reimagining of a massive exaggeration and reimagining. But, you know, the whole thing at the end where they go to Aslan's country, you know, is effectively them going to heaven and all this, that and the other. But Tolkien did the same. He wrote Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit as a way to... there's a film, isn't there, Tolkien, which is his time in the armed forces during World War II. And he wrote a lot of, I think, The Lord of the Rings based on his experiences in that. And like the ring wraiths are based on the devil and demons and how he perceived them. Balrogs as well. But Gandalf is just Jesus.
Good old Jesus.
I know. Gandalf is Jesus, which I just think is fucking awesome. The travelling wizard. Jesus is exactly that. Fucking travelling wizard.
Yes.
Just brilliant. And I just think it's absolutely fantastic, but it's just from a fantasy context, you know? And he was obsessed with all the old myths and legends of the UK and Anglo-Saxon Britain. And, you know, they wanted to bring this all back and thought it was really, really cool. And, you know, but Victorian England kind of squashed them a bit. They didn't get very far. That's why the Silmarillion was written, but like he came up with the Silmarillion, but is it the Silmarillion?
Yes.
It's not a whole book though, is it? Or is that one a whole book? Another one isn't.
I'm not sure. Do you know what? I've got it. I've never read it.
No, I've not read the Silmarillion.
But it's like all the backstory, isn't it?
There's a few that haven't been completely written. He's like partially written them. They've been released since, but they're not fully formed.
Well, maybe one day he'll finish them.
He's Okay. Yes. Maybe. Yes. Maybe one day he'll finish them. But yeah, like, I don't know what I'm getting at now.
I don't know.
Oh yeah. No. La. So the way that Sauron falls to darkness is because he tries to combat darkness by learning about darkness and falls to it. And it's
that old chestnut. We'll learn dark magic to combat dark magic.
Exactly. And it's why Gandalf is always portrayed as the good guy, because he sees that dark magic can be thwarted by kind acts. You know, and
it's the little things.
Yes, exactly. And it's just, it's really, really cool. And I kind of love that idea that, you know, the small positive acts have huge dramatic effects.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't have to fight power with power. You just have to do a nice thing and actually it elevates you.
Yeah.
Stops you from getting caught.
But every now and then a fireball to the face is always a great
fireball thing. To the face! Yeah.
I do think that's one of the big things with spiritual warfare, is it's all very good and well standing on the light and staring into the dark, but if you're not careful, it's like...
You fall in.
Well, it's like the ocean, isn't it? If you're not careful, you can get swept out by the tides before you've noticed what's going on.
Sucked off by the tides.
Swept out by the tides. So you have to be careful. So I think every now and then it's important to kind of...
You do have to be careful. Like, you can't keep staring at the dark. But this is why... sooner or later, the dark might look back.
Yes. And then it recoils in horror.
It would from you.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
I could go on about this for a little while. I'm on a tangent now.
From a Catholic point of view, our warfare is about prayer and protection. And it's not about... Fighting darkness is left to the angels. We're just here to shield and protect and to ward off and just keep it away and just be diligent and pray.
And I think in a little way, paganism has lost that the best way to be better or do better or make better is to just be kind. I think there's a little bit of that lost. And when the focus is so much on personal sovereignty and then protecting that, you can get really defensive pagans who are very, like, attacky. And it's like, no, you don't have to go there at all. You don't have to defend yourself. Literally, you can just be nice.
Mm.
And actually, you'll get much further. Joanna Lumley is my inspiration. I know people can't stand her or love her. And
I love her.
I love her to pieces. But she does this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to shut up. She does this one thing and she says, wherever she goes, whatever she does, she treats people as if they are lovely, like the loveliest. And they're such lovely people. And she treats them as if they were lovely, regardless. And she said, what happens every time is they act lovely. Because you've treated them that way. And they reflect that loveliness then back at you.
Mm.
And all you have is lovely experiences.
That's nice.
And I'm like, oh, that's grand. Absolutely grand. And I try and remember that as often as I possibly can. Because it's such a cool idea.
Yeah.
That if you're really lovely to everybody, everybody will be really lovely back to you. And in some respects, I think spiritual works... kind of work in the same respect. You know, you've just got to be aware that they don't always speak the same language as you or the same culture as you, and you can do something that upsets them and then they fight you and it's just like, oh shit, fucked up there. So better to be protected than not.
Yes.
Spiritual warfare summed up: protect yourself. Jizz on your house.
Yes, always.
Anyway, right, it's going to cut us off in a second, so okay. That's been... Have we talked about spiritual warfare? Yeah, fab. Thanks very much. You can find us at Shove It Up Your RWN pretty much anywhere. Just Google us. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. We're on everything, really. And you can find us, everywhere. It's good. It's fab.
Yes.
Cool.
Cool.
Thanks very much. And if you don't like anything, well, Shove It Up Your RWN.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.